Hello, and welcome to the Sunlight Media Podcast. I'm your host, Angelo Frisina, founder and CEO of Sunlight Media. Today's guest is Priyiti Upala, a former investment banker turned global thought leader and multimedia entrepreneur.
Hey, Priyiti, how are you doing?
Good day, Angelo. I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Good day to you as well, fellow Aussie. I see you. You've lived in Australia for some time. That's pretty cool. Maybe we crossed paths in Australia many years ago. Who knows?
I'm sure. I think it's a small world.
Yes, indeed. It's a big country, but a small population. So we might have crossed paths at some point. But before we get to that, I want to talk, you know, about a few things and a lot of things to cover here. I was looking at your bio, and it's very impressive. You've got a diverse set of skills, and you've been involved in many things over the years, but I want to start with your previous experience. So you were a former investment banker turned global thought leader and multimedia entrepreneur. Yes. Sounds quite extensive. Let's talk a little bit about your investment banking career and kind of how that transitioned into what you're doing now.
Wonderful. Well, yeah, I think the beauty of life is that, number one, everything happens for a reason. Everything is divinely orchestrated and just divinely perfect. So even if we change paths and careers, we always end up where we are meant to. So everything that I've learned as a banker and in the corporate world in Australia, I can use today in whatever I do and probably will use forever. So that's a good thing. But, you know, since I was a young child, I was never really interested in the arts or anything like that. I was just interested in science and technology and all that. So I ended up getting a degree in IT and another degree in business marketing. And then I started working for Investec, which is a South African-based investment bank based in Sydney. And I did that for a few years. And then I also worked as a management consultant. And that I worked for a UK company. So I spent time in New Zealand and Scotland, Ireland and England, as well as Australia. So that took me traveling a lot and working with international clients. But it was so much fun. It kind of very similar to the entertainment industry in a way. They were both cutthroat. There's really no formula. And people are, it's like dog-eat-dog world. And you know, you do what you have to do. But I think with, of course, the corporate, there is some vague kind of formula that people can use. At least you know that if you do A, you're going to get B. Whereas in the film industry, you know, you could be here for 20 years and nothing could happen. So the nebulous nature, I think, of entertainment is quite different. But as far as energy, effort, intensity, vision, ambition, all of those things, I didn't change as a person. I just kind of changed paths, but I still come with the same. I bring myself basically to what I do now. But I had a sort of a midlife. I wouldn't say midlife, but I had a spiritual awakening. Let's say in my kind of early 20s, where I realized that my path in life, my dharma, my purpose was not to be in some back office somewhere in Sydney, Australia, kind of, you know, coming up with analysis and so on. I really I got a feeling that I had something bigger to share and contribute to the world, and all my gifts that I had to be used, I think, wisely. And that's the same time when I sort of fell into my spiritual on my spiritual journey too. I kind of stumbled into a meditation center in Sydney, and I meditated for the first time, and I started doing it every day. And then I realized that I had an inner voice that sort of spoke to me and told me, you know, what that there's something else out there. So all of that sort of culminated, and I made a very bold decision to quit sort of cold turkey and never look back. You know, I started pursuing.
Yeah, that is a very bold decision, especially having a stable career like that. Yes. In investment banking, and just to say, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore and I'm going to pursue a career in entertainment is, you know, very bold, because we all know entertainment is, you know, it's a great career if you can be successful at it, but the chances of being successful are very slim for most people, because it is very extremely competitive and cutthroat, like you say. So the fact that you are brave enough to leave a, you know, a successful career that you've been formally trained in to go into something that is, you know, more risky is very courageous.
True, and also Australia in particular, you know, I think it's very easy if you're American and if you're in Ohio or somewhere and you just think, I'm going to go to LA and I'm going to try this acting thing. I know that seems like a big move, and I'm sure for Americans it is, or for the person who's making that move, it is, because it is quite a big country. They are covering ground, I think, by moving to the other side of the country and sort of probably they don't know anyone in LA, and that's hard enough. But on top of that, Australia itself, the film industry is very tiny, and you know, I think the conversation here is about diversity and lack of representation. I mean, can you imagine in Australia, which I think is one of the most diverse countries in the world, but when you see TV and Australian movies, it was there was no diversity, very, very little. And this 10, 15 years ago, very little. So for me to sort of give everything up and say I'm going to try the Aussie market first was that was a big deal. But luckily, I didn't do that for very long. I started training as an actor at NIDA, which is the best acting school in the country. And I got myself a very good agent. And I started studying and working kind of full time, I would say. And I was actually booking a lot of stuff because I think I had a natural ability to it. But a few months into that, I won a scholarship that brought me to New York. And then I really never looked back. I just bought a one-way ticket and I thought, this is it. I think this is my ticket to my destiny. It awaits for me. I think I just need to get out of here and go where I need to go. I was more excited than scared, I would say, which is good, because it can be terrifying leaving everything behind. And, you know, I left my parents, my family. I'm sure they're all very heartbroken when I did that, and I was very young and I didn't know anyone in LA. I'd never been to America before. I think I had only been to Hawaii, but that doesn't count, you know, it's different. But I landed at LAX and I didn't even have accommodation booked. I literally landed at LAX with the one small suitcase and I did not know where to go, but I was so excited, you know. And then I never looked back. I mean, magic happened, I think, from the minute I landed, because I was expecting miracles. I was expecting it to work out. I was very confident. I was friendly. I was meeting, sort of, I was putting my best foot forward, and everybody connected to it. You know, they liked my energy. They responded. And that evening at some random event, I actually met my future roommate and I moved in the next day. So this is the story of my life. It's very, very adventurous.
It sounds like it. Yeah, I mean, it's very brave to come to a place like LA with, you know, without a real plan, or not knowing anyone, or, you know, not knowing exactly the path that you're going to go down. We're kind of leading a similar path, actually, because, you know, I moved to LA from Sydney, where I was living at the time, to pursue a music in a career in music. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I came here and I knew a few people and I had a place to stay, and I kind of networked with some musicians and other people that I'd met on a previous trip. But that in itself was still challenging, because I needed to stay here and establish myself and network with these people and go to, you know, people's shows and attend jam sessions and do the regular stuff that you do if you want to, you know, be a musician. But to come here with none of that and just say, okay, here we go, where, you know, I'm just going to give it a shot is very brave. So I pat you on the back for that. Good job.
Thank you. But hey, fortune favors the brave. I mean, if for the 99% of people who wouldn't have made that trip, they're probably still in Australia right now, especially with this pandemic, wondering why they're not fulfilled in their life, because they never chased their dream. And you really need to have a lot of courage to dive into the abyss, because you don't know what's out there. I think the current situation actually makes what I did easy, because I think the whole world is so chaotic now that the only thing you can do is follow your truth, right? I think 15 years ago, 10 years ago, I think there was a lot of comfort and security, I think just at large, right? And especially with Australia, I would say. And now I think even Australians are like, screw this. I'm just going to do what I've been dreaming of doing, because nothing else is working anyway. So you might as well just go for it, because you have nothing to lose. And this is the time when I think it's the beautiful opportunity for people to find their true purpose in life. And I think get on that path, because I think it'll take you. You may not know where it's taking you, but wherever it's going, it's the right place. And when you arrive, you will be grateful that you took that path, and nothing is ever, a waste. I think, especially if you have any sort of faith in, it doesn't have to be God, but it can even be the universe, universal consciousness, or even sometimes the law of physics. You just, you know, if you're a good person, you do the right thing, and you're earnest, right? Then I think good things will happen, and you just have to trust that it'll all work out.
Yeah. Ultimately, it's all about, you know, happiness and fulfillment, right? You really got to decide what your journey is all about. Is it about just, you know, earning a 9-to-5 income and having a regular job and doing what, you know, everyone else is doing? Or is it about pursuing some of your goals and ambitions and really fulfilling your dream and being happy? I think that's important for everyone. And like you said, you know, now's probably a good time for people to pursue some of those goals and ambitions, because maybe they don't have a full-time job anymore and they're stuck at home. So it's like, okay, well, you know, do some research, figure out, you know, what that goal and what that dream really is, and get those wheels in motion and try and make that happen. So I also want to talk a little bit about some of the other things you've been involved in. Mm-hmm. In particular, Miss India International, and then you've gone on to be a global brand ambassador for several lifestyle brands such as Owe Naviva, Penap, Pia Resorts, Chloe and Isabel Jewelry. Yes. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, how that all came about.
Wonderful. So just before I moved to, before I had won that scholarship to move to New York, I think in my last 6 months or so in Sydney, I had randomly met this this lady at some, I guess, some event, and she said, "Hey, have you ever competed in a beauty pageant?" I said, "Are you kidding me?" No, because I think I was too. I always looked down at that stuff. I thought it was so foo-foo, and I just never thought anything of the pageants, and also the kind of girls that competed for that. I just didn't know why anybody would do that. But she said, "Look, I really like your look, and you're so elegant and you're articulate, and I think you're the right kind of role model that we need in the beauty industry. Would you consider competing in my pageant? I'm organizing it." And I had no interest, but I thought, you know what, this could be a platform for me to open new doors. And at that time I had I had just met this big charity called Water Africa, and then I thought, and the lady was like, "You know what, if you are involved with any charities or whatever, you can incorporate that, and we can talk about that during the pageant and whatever," because there's a charitable component, and this was like the Miss Earth thing that was happening in Australia. And I said, okay. So I got involved in that, just because I thought I could do like higher work through my platform there, and I actually did very well. And then I got some other opportunities. I ended up winning some titles, and then I thought, it is what it is. And then when I finally moved to New York and then LA a few years later, there was this particular one was happening in New York. And again, the woman just found my photo somewhere online, and she said, I really think you're the right person for this event. Would you like to compete?" And I did, and I won that one. So, I think for some, a lot of the girls who compete in pageants like this, this is the most impressive thing that they'll ever do in their life sometimes. It's like something that they've dreamt of, and if they win or they do well, it's a big thing. For me, it was probably at the bottom of my desire list, let's say. But everything, you know, you take it, you have to be gracious and grateful. And I think pageants mean a lot more in America and in Hollywood than they do, I think, anywhere else in the world for some reason. So when I, you know, living in LA for a few years, I realized that everybody was very excited when they found that out about me. And then I got invited to every high-end industry event here. I was able to get into things that are really just celebrity level things only, very, very VIP stuff. And then all these brands, when I would go to these big product events and stuff, gifting events, they just said, you're the perfect person to be our ambassador. So I ended up getting a lot of ambassadorship kind of opportunities that came along with that, from resorts to spas to, and one of them is actually an urban winery based in South Australia, which is that Innoviva brand, which is very exciting. So, look, these things are not things that I was looking for, but they came on my path. And I think one thing, maybe the best quality that I have is that I'm very open and I'm very inquisitive. I've always been open and engaging and curious about life. So when something comes on my path, I always engage with it. I think too many people just negate. They'll meet someone or they'll get an opportunity and they think this is not really perfect, I'm going to move on. With me, I always consider it. And I think the magical things that have happened just because I took a chance. And that's very Aussie, by the way. You know, it's the Aussie way. You just take a punt, you just take a chance, just go. And things always work.
Yeah, give it a shot, mate.
Give it a shot. You'll never regret it. And I think I had that in me even before I moved to Australia, but I think living in Australia only empowered, I think, that quality within me, because everybody was doing it. And I just thought it was such a great attitude to have that. Here in America, you don't have it. Here, it's more opportunistic. It's not like taking a shot and it's exciting. Here, it's like, what can I get from here? What can I do here? Is this work? It's more calculating here. So people they do engage. They are open, but they're only open because they want to see what's at the end of the rainbow for themselves. And if they find out that there's nothing, they actually just move. They'll just walk back. They'll retreat. And it's all very, you'll be left, somebody's going to be left sort of alone on the path, let's say. So I think here you got to be a little careful when just kind of getting involved, because the intentions aren't always clear.
Yeah, exactly. Especially in the Hollywood scene, as we've learned in recent years about, you know, all the craziness that goes on behind the scenes, which is no surprise. I mean, we've all heard the rumors in the past, but it is an ugly industry if you get involved, you know, with the wrong people. But at the same time, can be an amazing opportunity and experience if you know, get involved with the right people. So it's kind of a matter of, I guess, looking at the opportunities that are presented to you, doing your research, thinking about the pros and cons and where that opportunity could lead to, and figuring out if it's a, you know, a good or bad choice. And that's an important thing to do, not in just in life, but in business as well. You know, sometimes you do need to take those risks if you want to move on to the next step. And, you know, sometimes those opportunities might seem like a bad decision. Like, I'm sure that, you know, when you originally got the request to do the Miss India International, probably thought, I don't know about this. You know, people are kind of going to look at me in a different light, and they're going to think I'm just some sexy bimbo and I don't have much of a brain.
Yeah.
Right? That's probably what you thought. But then you thought about it a little more and you looked at some of the previous, pageant winners and what they've done with their platform. So I think you made the right choice, and good on you for doing that.
Yes.
Now, moving on to your traveling. Now, I thought I had a pretty impressive resume with traveling to about 40 or 50 countries through my music. But you've traveled to more than 100 countries. That's amazing. Was that through the global brand ambassador work, or was it other stuff in general as well?
Oh, yeah, I love that. My two passions in life are spirituality and international travel. Yes, I've been very privileged, I think, to have traveled a lot. But no, actually, none of it came from the... I mean, very little came from at least the beauty stuff or the brand stuff. I was very privileged to have traveled when I was young because my dad worked for a company that was French, but they had all these projects all around the world, and it was an oil kind of oil and gas company. So I grew up traveling a lot as a child. And then I grew up in Dubai. I was born in the Middle East. I grew up there. And then from there, we moved to Europe very briefly. And then we moved to Australia. So as a child, I traveled quite a bit. And then when I moved to Australia, I backpacked all around Europe as well as Southeast Asia. And then when I finally moved to LA in the last 10 years, I think I've traveled a lot because of film festivals, shoots, project, and also now I speak around the world, so my speaking has got me lots of travel. So my own spiritual pursuits, I always go into ashrams and retreats everywhere, and I've been to so many exotic places for just for my own soul. You know, I think that's the best kind of travel anyway. So even if I have to go to some film festival somewhere, I'll take some days off and then I'll go find something spiritual in the place in that area. And my favorite places to go to are in Southeast Asia because they actually happen to have that quality to them. And of course the weather, and it's our dollar goes a long way, you know, when you go to Thailand or Bali. And I think that's why a lot of Aussies like to go there too. It's just fun. People are so friendly. And it's a very nice spiritual environment. If you're looking for that, I mean, you can party too. But I think I've spent more time sort of pursuing my own spiritual goals, at least in the last 10 years or so, which I've appreciated it a lot. So I think this COVID thing, the only negative thing for me, to be honest, is that I haven't traveled internationally in the last few months because we can't, and I do miss that. Other than that, things have been amazing, but I do miss, and I hope that we get to travel soon again.
Yes, absolutely. I've been wanting to go back to Australia now for a few months, but unfortunately, you know, the restrictions there are quite strict, and you know, you have to do the whole 2-week quarantine thing, so having to delay that trip, unfortunately. But, you know, hopefully that all gets lifted soon and everyone can travel freely and enjoy this wonderful planet that we live on. So in your early years then, it seems like you did do a lot of traveling with your family. So were you homeschooled or did you change school at each location? And, I mean, how did your education years kind of pan out?
Oh, I don't think I've ever spoken about my schooling situation. I was homeschooled until I was 8 or 9, so maybe almost 10. And then we moved cities in the Middle East. And there, I attended a normal school and then did my secondary education. And then we moved to Europe briefly. I did change a few schools along the way, and it was interesting. I think it was interesting for me to go from the Middle East to Europe, which was a culture shock, and then from Europe to Australia, which was really a completely different culture. And then finally, when I moved from Australia to the US, it was it doesn't look like it's a big shift, but I think with the mindset it is, but especially that the Middle East to Europe and then Australia, that was a real different change of scenery, I think, for me. And I'm just happy that I embraced it. I I've changed schools enough in my life where I've the new person. I don't know anyone. And also, I think every time I've joined a new school, I somehow came in the middle of, it wasn't at the beginning of the year. I had always missed some months, but I caught up. They didn't push me back. In fact, they propped me up. They said, no, it's okay. You can join and you'll catch on. And I did. And I'm grateful for that. I never repeated anything. So that's good. But it was interesting, I think. And you know, when you're that young, you're 12, 15, whatever, you're so young and everybody's different. And you know, it's different as an adult. I think people are kind of understanding, but as a child, you know, kids, it's all very new. You have to just go with it and just kind of be your best self, I guess, and hope that people are kind to you, which kids aren't always kind, but luckily, right. I didn't have too many negative experiences. I was very young, I would say. When I moved to Australia, I was only 15 and I started my year 12, which is very young. And everyone was 17 or 18 because I moved kind of in the middle of the year and they could have asked me to go to 11th, year 11, I guess. But they said, no, you can do year 12 if it's okay. So I said, okay, that's great for me. But, you know, these people are much older than me. And I am really many months into the year. So it was a very interesting challenge, I think, for me. And but I just did that 1 year in Australia. I only did year 12. And then I went to university. And I really liked university because even though I was very young, I just think uni is different. There's people from all around the world. There are people from all ages. And it's a huge, you know, we had 20, 30,000 kids. So you find your friends, you know, and it was so much fun.
Yeah, it's an amazing experience to have at such a young age, being exposed to all those different, you know, languages and cultures and way of life and education. So it sounds like it was a very positive academic experience for you, especially if you're able to go to Australia at the age of 15 and 16 and actually skip a year or two in the education system and go right to the final year of high school.
Yes.
And I know Australia has a fairly good, you know, education system. So you must have been well advanced to do that. So that's fantastic. I have come across people with similar lifestyles to yours who have been homeschooled and, you know, been shuffled around at different schools, and they haven't been as successful. It's been a challenge for them, and they've kind of suffered later in life, and they've had to kind of redo some of their education to be able to get employment, but it seems like it didn't affect you. That's pretty awesome. Very good.
Yes.
So what kind of advice would you give to, you know, individuals that are kind of looking for the same career path? You know, they want to be able to enjoy the freedom of travel and, you know, being a brand ambassador and speaking to people and inspiring them on dreams and goals and ambitions. What would be, you know, some advice you could share with individuals that are looking for a similar type career path?
Great. That's a fantastic question. So for me, the way I look at it, the you know, the traveling and getting to go to interesting places and all that good stuff, that's just the sideshow for me. For me, what I do is I am fulfilling my gifts and my abilities. I'm doing something that I love. My purpose in life is to inspire people and to uplift and empower them through my work and my energy. So one can do this in many ways. And for me, it just happens to be through writing and speaking and sort of more creative platforms. So that's really what I do. Everything else is just it just happened. I think you should never chase the money or the fame or even the perks. I think you should focus on who you are and what you want to do, because when you do that, life will take you organically to where you need to be. And these things that we are, you know, so enamored by, all the foo-foo stuff, the fluffy stuff, it'll come. I mean, when you focus on being the best you can be, you will do well. The money will come, the fame will come, the success will come, and all the perks that come with it. But focus on who are you and why are you here? What do you want to do? And these come really from my own spiritual background and my spirituality. I think whether it was Hollywood acting or some of the other things that I've branched out into now, what has kept me strong and clear is actually my spiritual fortitude and my spiritual, I wouldn't say beliefs, but just my spiritual philosophies or concepts, how I view life, you know, my concept of karma and dharma, which is purpose. And of course, karma is you have to act, you have to do the action. And looking at everyone and everything through the lens of spirit. So I don't see the mind and the body when I'm interacting with someone. I'm engaging with the spirit, the soul within. So when you do that to everybody, then you don't look at them through this sort of identity politics lens that is so prevalent today all around the world. I see a soul, and usually I see a soul in pain. I see someone who wants to be loved, someone who wants to be understood. Like in all of my travels, that's the one thing I learned, no matter where you go, whether it's Australia or you go to Thailand or Sweden, everyone is looking for these same human qualities and human, they want to be treated like a human. And it's the most basic things that sometimes they don't get, no matter where you are. You could be very wealthy or you could have nothing and you could be denied these same things. And it's interesting to see how similar we are than how different we are. So my advice to people is focus on what you want to do and who you are and what do you think your gift is to the world, and all these other things, don't focus on them because they are a distraction. Because if you just wanted money and fame, there are things that you might want to do that might be easier for you to get there. It won't make you happy and it won't be your path. But you know, there's a joke, if you really wanted to be rich and famous, then Hollywood is the last place you should look for, because that is a very, very hard place to become rich and famous. There's so many much, much easier ways to do that. And yet everybody comes, millions come here every year pursuing those very things, which are actually the most difficult to attain. So it's funny how people have got it so wrong. They don't understand. Mm-hmm. They think it's very... I'll just go there, it'll all happen. I think I blame Hollywood for that because it's so illusory. It's created a world where it seems that things are just so simple. If you just have that right look and if you're at the right place at the right time and blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't work like that. You know, life is much more nuanced and complicated and also very fateful. I think if it's meant to happen, it'll happen. It's not meant to happen, it won't. And you have to surrender. I think you need to surrender to the divine plan and just kind of be present.
Yeah, exactly. I think the key takeaway here is to really be passionate and really love the art or the career path that you decided to take, whether that be in music or as an actor or whatever it be. You got to enjoy doing it, and you got to be passionate enough to do it for the love and not the money. You know, the money and the fame and fortune should be secondary. Yeah. You should really just enjoy doing that. Find out what your message is, what it inspires you to carry that message, and just really refine your skills and, you know, be actively involved in what it is that you want to do. So that's great advice. Thanks for sharing that. So I also want to talk a little bit about your weekly spirituality show called The Eternal Hour. I believe it can be heard on iHeartRadio. And you also have a podcast titled The Preeti Experience.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about what people can hear on those particular shows.
Yeah, well, they're two very different shows. The Eternal Hour was a spiritual hourly kind of a weekly show that I actually did with another co-host. And we would have conversations about spirituality in the modern day. It's a really comprehensive a set of episodes and the good content. We really discussed the tools that we have, and my co-host was a transcendental meditation teacher, also somebody who has traveled a lot, spent a lot of time on his own personal development, very familiar with many modalities, and he's from New York, and I have my own experience of, again, visiting different spiritual organizations around the world and being initiated into different schools of thought and experience with various modalities. And I think we complemented each other quite well, and we would come from different angles at it. So we did a set of episodes, and then we I worked on another show. So that's kind of on hiatus. I think we must get back to it at some point. But in the meantime, I also set up my own show. This is on YouTube. You can find it. It's a combination of some podcasts from me, and this is just me. I don't have a co-host here. And also a collection of interviews that I've done on various other news channels and platforms and sort of other podcasts and shows, because I get invited a lot to do these media engagements, and I always have a I have a good collection now, and I thought there's something unique in each of them, and each of them is quite different, and let me put them up because I think it could be helpful for people to listen to. So if you go to YouTube and just try, just type in my name, actually, the Preeti Upala, that show will come. It's not officially called the Preeti Experience, but maybe that's something I should change it to. But you'll get hundreds and hundreds of content, and there's a lot more that's coming up, because during this COVID, I think almost every day I've had some sort of engagement, which is great, you know. And I recently got invited to give a bunch of lectures. So my speaking engagements got canceled, but instead I've been invited to give online lectures. And I remember when I did my first one, they told me to address a bunch of young students around the world on various topics. And they said that we have, I could see the number of people logging in, and maybe we had 200, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. This is a lot of kids are tuning in, and I did it at 3 a.m. LA time because it was international. And then when I finished the, I sort of signed off, and then I looked at the number, like 11,000 people had watched that live. I did a 2-hour talk, I think. Yeah. And I was like, are you kidding me? And I've done so many sins. So I think it's been a real joy, I think, connecting with young people. They are very excited about the world. They're excited about politics. They're excited about the earth. They're excited about diplomacy. I did an interesting one a few days ago. It was the kids that came together to conduct a mock UN forum. It was like a 4-day mock UN event where they had debates, they had Security Council. It was a serious thing, and I was their chief guest on the first day, and I spoke for maybe 15 minutes, and then they asked me questions, and then I stayed a little bit to hear the introductions and all that, and I thought, geez, you guys are more serious than the real UN. You're actually, you really want to solve the world's problems. Whereas with the entities like UN and all that, I think I've become very cynical, because they were set up to establish world peace, and I think we have anything but world peace in the world today. And all of this happened right under their watch. So I don't have much faith in those kind of institutions, but it's nice to see young, innocent kids who genuinely want to do something good. And the energy was so good. So I just feel that moving forward, I'll be giving a lot of these lectures, I think. And maybe when I'm able to travel, I'll be doing them in person. So very, very excited for that.
Yeah, that's great. And it's wonderful we have, modern technology such as, video and audio conferencing that allows you to, to connect with thousands of people across the world. I mean, obviously, it's a very enjoyable to be able to travel and see people face to face and be on a stage or at an event and communicate with people. But at the same time, you can do it at the comfort of your own home, and you're still able to, you know, share a message with people all over the world, not just in the room or in your city. So it's wonderful that, you know, we have the technology to do that. So yeah, you're also developing a international travel series, and you're working on a new book titled The Eternal Gift. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. So before COVID, this really started, I think, last year. I always thought, you know, Hollywood is great. I've done a lot of commercials, TV and film, and I've worked in Bollywood and Hollywood. I've also worked in Europe and the Middle East too. I think I've worked across four continents for as far as my acting stuff goes. But I always thought, look, I'm an entrepreneur. I want my own show. I want something that I've created and produced. And I just thought the two things that I love the most are spirituality and international travel. And if I ever did anything, I would marry the two. And then I thought, well, what about an international travel show that actually goes to off the beaten path kind of places? It's not luxury destination or anything like that. It's really these very, very exotic kind of places. And I've been working on it. I have my treatment. I've been developing it and getting, meeting the right people so I can form my team. And just when I thought I was ready, COVID happened. So now I am, I know that this puts a damper on not so much people viewing it, obviously, but I think the shooting of it, because it's very limited. And even when it does open up, I think it's just not going to be the same again. And I want to be able to move freely and record what I need to record. And I just think that travel industry is going to be affected. This is not a bad thing. I think this could make the show more unique if I can pull it off. It just means that the timing is very strange. So I'm just going to, keep that dream alive. I think when things do open up, I'll have to see how feasible it will be. That's okay because, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, a lot of these skills are transferable. So if it's not the travel show, then I have other shows in mind that I'm actively working on. And regardless, I do want a show that I will produce and host. And maybe instead of travel, this actually might be more of a sort of a philosophical show, perhaps, talking about these deeper, you know, the meaning of life and all that, because you don't see enough of those shows out there. And I think it might be good for this, for America, because I see that they're very much caught into this Maya, in this illusion of life. That's why they're so enamored with Hollywood and all these industries. Whereas I think life is really about something much more deeper and much more real. So either way, I do want my own show, and I think that would be the right platform for me. And I've been writing my whole life. I write a lot for magazines and newspapers, but my dream is to be a published author, and I am actually working on a book, but there's another book coming too. So that's something, I think COVID has been good for me. I've spent a lot of time doing research for my book and writing it out, meeting editors and publishers and so on. Mm. Essentially about ancient wisdom and how ancient wisdom, I think, has good frameworks for us. And when we look at the problems that we face today, I think we can go back to what's already there, because I think the answer actually lies there. I think you just have to implement it properly. So I want to put forward new frameworks and talking about, of course, the spiritual pursuit, but specifically, I want to talk about feminism and women's empowerment and all of this stuff, which I feel like the West has, I think they have a few blind spots when it comes to this issue of feminism. And now, especially being in California and LA, you see it morph into something very different. And I think it's become very unappealing even to women. So I'm a different framework altogether, which is where the woman actually is very feminine and soft and vulnerable and loving and sensual, as well as being empowered. Because I think this notion that you have to be like a man to have any respect or power is simply not true. And I think women are brainwashed. Somehow society has brainwashed them to tell them to be to get the same positions as a man, and that he may be the enemy, that you should try to find a situation where it's all female only. And it's just not very balanced and fair. And I think you're going to end up doing more damage than good in the long run if you push that agenda that some of these radical feminists push. And I'm really against that. So it's a very brave book, I think. I think it's a bit of a contrarian book, especially coming from a female, and that too, maybe a female of, let's say, I'm a kind of a minority in many, many ways. So for me to say something like this is pretty bold, I would say, because this is maybe something that some white man might say. He would agree with me, actually. And I've done podcasts with all male audience, like podcasts that are for men only on this very topic, and the amount of support that I got was amazing, and how happy the host was that there's a woman that's even addressing this. They were over the moon because they try to discuss it, and they always say that women will never have this conversation, but so they have it in private, but I'm openly talking about it, which gives them the freedom to also express themselves, I think. So it's very interesting. I'm excited. I don't know how it'll unfold, but I do think that it's going to be an interesting book.
Absolutely. It's definitely an interesting topic, especially in today's, society. So I look forward to reading it. Do you have a rough launch date in mind, or are you kind of just still working on the book itself?
I'm working on the book, but it's something that... if it could be released in 2020, maybe at the end of the year, that would be great. Even if it's early next year, it's good too. But it would either be this year or very, very early next year. I think I'm ready. I'm right for it. I'm ripe. I'm ready. Because one needs to be. I think this is all karmic. It's fateful. It's beyond just somebody wanting to write a book. I think the topic is maybe a necessary one, and the timing will coincide with the right time that it needs to come out in the world, so that it reaches the most number of people. And that may be next year. I don't think it's going to be much later than that, because I do think that it's something that I see a void, and everyone I've spoken to, I do see a need for it, but I'm just refining it so that it will be inclusive. And you don't want a book like this to alienate anyone. So I think I have a big task of trying to write it in a very compassionate way, which is not easy when you're critiquing something. To come with compassion is usually not easy, but I think if I want to be very successful with this book, I must do that, or else it's going to be a polarizing book, like, and everything else in the world is so polarizing right now. With the election coming up, I just see even more polarization. And this book, if it was launched at around that time and it was written in a very polarized way, I mean, I don't know, maybe it could be very good for the book, but it would add to the division, I think. And I'm trying to mend everything here. So let's see how it works out.
Awesome. Well, we definitely look forward to learning more about it. And I guess our listeners can keep in touch with you through the various social media channels that you're on. To learn more about, what you do, and to learn more about the book and find out when it's going to be launched. So, yeah, we look forward to that. So if you're interested in learning more about Preeti, she can be found on various social media channels here. I see you're on Facebook, Preeti Upala, which is spelled P as in Peter, R-E-I-T-Y-U-P-A-L-A.
Yes.
You're also on Twitter, I believe. The handle is @ThePreetiEffect.
Yes.
You're also on Instagram. It looks like your handle is PreetiU.
Yes.
And then you've got a YouTube channel, which I'm sure they can just search your name and find your channel, as well as LinkedIn. And you also mentioned you're working on the website, PreetiUpala.com, yes, which I'm sure will have some amazing resources, information, books, videos, everything that will keep people inspired. So anyone listening, interested in learning more about our amazing guest today, feel free to research those channels.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been amazing talking with you today. I feel very inspired. I want to go about my day doing the work I love and pursuing more of my own personal goals and dreams. And I hope everyone else listening does the same. So I thank you very much for being a guest on the show. And hopefully we can connect again when the book's out and talk a little bit more about that.
Yes, I firstly, thank you so much for having me on board. It's always nice to connect with a fellow Aussie here in LA. There are so many offers out here, but we're pretty spread out. And best of luck for your journey. Congratulations to you as well for, you know, making the move here and doing what, you know, following your purpose. And, you know, you're living a very magical life as well. And it was wonderful to have this amazing conversation with you. I urge all of your listeners to just look me up somewhere. I'm very engaging. I love to hear from people. So please write to me and, you know, ask me a question if you like, or if you want any information about anything I've spoken about, or just say hello, because I just love getting emails or messages from all over. And someone says that they've been touched by anything I've said. It's I know that I've done my job and that everything has been worth it so far. So I look forward to connecting with you. There's good content coming up. My website will be available in a few weeks. And really, I can't wait to come back when the book is published and launched and talk about that. I really, really look forward to that.
Absolutely. Likewise, I too look forward to it. And all the best to you. You enjoy the rest of your week and enjoy the rest of the summer here in sunny Southern California, and look forward to connecting again. You have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you so much.